It's Monday, the sun's on the rise. Homeroom's the place where we sharpen our minds. Grab your coffee, your notebook, your pen. Homeroom, homeroom. Let's do it again.
Woo! They're like, what's that? Hey, come on. I love that. It is still It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educators talking education. Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker in the house, Johnny Lupinacci, you know, giving him a little bit of R&R for this homeroom. You know, probably his Keurig is not working. He didn't have his coffee. So, Jacob, you know, we said, hey, you know what? Until somebody fixes that Keurig machine, Johnny, we're going to excuse you from homeroom for now. What do you think?
I think that's completely fair, Tim. And as we talked about on, I believe it was Producer's Choice last week, Johnny's working on some of those throat exercises to improve his voice and make sure he doesn't throw it out so often. So we're trying to give him some time to recuperate before class and session.
Yeah, and in case anybody forgets, those are when he has to go, me, 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 me.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay. Or me, 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 me. No, oh, my God, Jacob.
Those are the good ones where you really okay. Get up into that high yeah. range.
Yeah, that's when I, oh, crap. I forget what they call that when you hit that high note. I was going to say stiletto, but.
falsetto, maybe.
There you go.
Is that what we're thinking
Jacob.
About?
I'm going to hit my stiletto tone right there. No, yes.
Well, if you pinch my foot into a nice small stiletto, then I hit a falsetto.
That's a falsetto. Nice. Jacob, you know what? On this homeroom, though, I started thinking, I'm like, you know, a lot of times we're just kind of light, getting loosened up, ready for the week. And I'm going to stay in that, you know, in that same type of attitude, you know, easing in, but also thinking, boy, maybe it's a good opportunity to kind of go, what the heck's going on in Greenland that President Trump want? I mean, what is it? What's attractive about it? What's going on? Why Greenland? I mean, why are we talking about an invasion force? Or maybe not an invasion force, maybe just cold cash. Greenland, Jacob, what do you know about Greenland, my friend?
Tim, as you know, one of the big issues in the world today is energy and energy costs. And we went into Venezuela for their oil, their precious oil. And the big thing is whale blubber. And that's the future. You know, we have all these pesky woke laws about the environment. Oh, you can't wring out whales anymore to power your lanterns. Yeah. President Trump's getting rid of those unnecessary regulations and bringing us back to a more pure time somewhere around 1824, where the whale blubber is how we're going to run things. That's as best as I can figure it.
Okay, bring whale oil back.
Make whale blubber great again.
Great again.
Yes.
Love that. Yeah, because who doesn't miss lighting their whale oil lamp?
I know I do. I'm thinking about that all the time.
I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night. I got to go, you know, to the bathroom to pee. And I'm like, where is my whale oil lamp? Well, as you point out, you know, woke environmentalists and stuff, you know, have told me I don't have my own freedom to use my own whale blubber or whale oil lamp.
Exactly. If sleepy Joe Biden had his way, Tim, we'd be using a flashlight with batteries instead of an incredibly dangerous, unstable whale blubber based lantern as you walk through your house at night. That sounds way better to me.
Yeah, I think about it. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, coming back to this, though, I think it's one of these
things. There are real answers to your question as well.
I know there are real. No, this is great because, you know, typically when we enter into a conversation like this with Dr. Johnny Lupinacci here, he gets very confused because he has a hard time knowing whether or not we're joking or, as he points out, he's not very good at catching the sarcasm, even though I'm pretty sure that proclaiming our right to be free to use whale oil to light our way is pretty, you know, significantly over the top enough to go, they can't be serious, can they?
But Johnny, that's the Tim, that's the thing about Johnny. He's just that sincere of a person. He's a very sincere person. So he doesn't, you know, he can't do sarcasm like you and I with our cold black hearts. You know, we just spit out these jokes. But Johnny really, you know, he believes it. He feels it.
But, you know, but OK, yeah, Johnny, and we love you, man. But come on, man, get the sarcasm. Whale oil, really? Do you believe Jacob and I really mean Greenland, though? I mean, there's a lot of talk. People are saying we want it. We want to buy it. We want to invade it. You know, why? What do we know about Greenland? What's the, you know, my little thing? What's the history of Greenland?
I would love to know more.
What would we like to know about Greenland? You know, why Greenland? Why is it called Greenland? Has anybody ever been there? There's not a whole lot of the color green in Greenland.
I wonder if there's some sort of parable you can tell us about that may explain that story.
Well, it's just one of those interesting things. And, you know, we'll be talking about this because, you know, we have an Iceland. All right.
Yep.
And it would seem potentially if we look at the weather patterns in Iceland and Greenland, that somebody just made a mistake naming the countries when we drew, you know, one of our Western influenced maps, because, you know, Greenland's kind of frozen most of the time. So it's kind of like Iceland. And Iceland actually has some seasonal phases with you know, some green kind of rolling plains. But so where did that come from, Jacob? You know, that's what we're talking about here. Greenland, the history of Greenland. And to situate that, I was going to, you know, kind of say, Jacob, so what do you know about the history of Greenland? Because I am here to work as your oracle of wisdom, of truth, to hopefully either confirm your thoughts about Greenland or, you know, maybe get into a little bit of, Jacob, hold on a minute. Did you know?
That's what you do for me every day here on this show, Tim. And that's why I'm so grateful to be your producer. You know, I've learned a lot from you. I always learn from Johnny and his sincerity. But on the topic of Greenland, I do know that it was settled by the Vikings. I know that they came over after exploring Ireland a bit and England and that whole area over there. Moved to Iceland. There were settlements in Iceland. It moved to Greenland. You have settlements in Greenland. And that's how famously Leif Erikson becomes the first European to get to the North American continent. He does that because the Vikings have been moving steadily in that direction. And then he goes from Greenland to, I believe, Nova Scotia. So really, Greenland is a big part of the history of North America.
Western colonization at its finest.
Well, right? It went really poorly, though. So I guess.
Okay. You know, lots there. But yeah, lots going on, you know, and you bring up an important name, Leif Erikson. You know what, though? There's another important name, Eric the Red. Eric the Red. You bring in some important countries. Yeah. Iceland. England, Ireland, lots going on with the Vikings. And so the first question then, Jacob, is, so was it the Vikings then who discovered Greenland?
Good question, Tim. You can't say that they discovered Greenland, because I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the Inuit peoples were already in Greenland when the Vikings arrived, though, of course, they're both in pretty small numbers due to the very inhospitable nature of Greenland. So those first contacts were kind of, you know, you expect the newcomers to come in and find a lot of people. It was actually pretty small groups on both sides hanging out, and plus gigantic landmass. So I don't think they ran into each other every single day.
Yeah, you know, they weren't across the street from each other.
I think that's fair to say.
They were not at in the same school district.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they had to get on a bus to go and play that Friday night football game.
Yeah, they would have to take a nice bus with plenty of oarsmen and get on over to the neighboring school district. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, this is the first thing, right? Discovered. It's one of those words that can be kind of tricky. And so when it comes to Greenland, it's like, well, who discovered Greenland? It's like, well, actually, truth be told, as best we can tell, the discovery, well, we don't really know when, but as best we can tell, the early occupants of Greenland probably were there almost 2,000 years before Eric the Red laid his eyes on that prime real estate called Greenland.
That's a pretty that's a pretty big jump they had on old Eric the Red.
Yeah.
A couple thousand years.
So it's one of those things of going like, you know, when you guys write this down, we already knew we were here.
Absolutely. Yeah. For the people who are already in Greenland, I bet it was kind of odd to hear that they had been discovered.
Yes.
I think that when we say discovered, I think there is still a purpose or a usefulness or a utility, if you want to put it in any of those terms, to saying that, because it is the moment at which this history of Greenland enters the continuum of knowledge that you and I are currently part of. The story of how much you and I know about Greenland begins with that moment where the old and new worlds came together. That's how, you know, we enter this space where the archaeologists now learn about the 2,000-year history of the Inuit peoples. I mean, it's a big Neil deGrasse Tyson, I remember, once said that he thought that Columbus, quote unquote, discovering the new world is a pretty darn big deal, where you had two civilizations, multiple civilizations, but sort of these worlds developing for thousands and thousands of years. And finally, they come together for good and for a lot of bad. But it's a pretty darn momentous part of history. And obviously, Greenland, big part of that, too.
Well, and you're pointing out something really, you know, understand, too, of this whole thing of memory of the past is a cultural thing, right? You know, when Western European, in this case, Eric the Red and a Viking, you know, the Western culture of writing things down, of telling stories. Although, honestly, no, this is where it's going to get a little tricky. Eric the Red and that group of Vikings, they weren't so good at writing stuff down either. You know, they really weren't, but
well, it's interesting, around that time that the Vikings finally come onto the scene in European history, if you're sitting in France, I don't know how big a distinction the French king makes between the Scandinavian tribesmen up in Norway versus the Inuit tribesmen in Greenland. In that perspective of the time, how different are these guys from where we now have our biases to judge, oh, this is European, this is Greenland?
Yeah, those Vikings, oh my God, those Vikings. Gosh, goodness. But yeah, so there we are. So, you know, as best we could tell, Inuits discover how they discover, you know, now we're getting into really, really, quote, ancient history and looking the migration of the modern humans across, you know, quote, out of Africa, across Asia, and those movements, and as best we can tell how they are. But, you know, and at some point, a one of those migrations ends up with a group that, you know, again, we refer to them as the Inuit people. But, you know, Jacob, thinking about that, you know, 2,000 roughly years before Eric the Red. All right. Okay. Jacob, question. How long were the Vikings in Greenland?
That's a fantastic question, Tim. I know that the settlements in Iceland were a lot more successful, and that has been much more continuous. But for Greenland, I think it was pretty brief that they were actually living in Greenland. I'm going to guess 40 years. 40 years of Vikings the first time.
Okay. Actually, you're really, really low.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. From the idea of, quote, settlement of, Erik the Red, which is, somewhere in the 900s, mid-900s. Actually, there was continuous Viking colony on Greenland up through almost the 1400s.
Wow. Okay. So I was about 10 times too short on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say one more zero, Jacob, you had it. Yeah. Vikings actually existed for about 400 years there. So about 400 years, which brings up the question, what happened?
That is a good question. Now, my guess is going to be Greenland, as we've established, is not green. And it's a hard place to live. So I can see theoretically how that might not have panned out perfectly the first attempt. But tell me, then again, it lasted for 400 years the first time. So
interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because, I think your gut to say 40 years feels about right, because it's like, it's tough there. However, now we got to get into geography and geosciences and looking at the patterns of weather and climate. And actually, through all of those ways, whether we're checking, sludge at the bottom of frozen ponds, ice samples and stuff, actually can do a pretty darn good job of saying, here's what the weather was like in 900. Here's what it was like in, 1000, 1100. And actually what the best we can say is that when the Vikings did show up in the southern part of Greenland, there was a bit of, and for all the people out there who are going to go like, see, I told you, the climate had been warmer than normal, so that actually the modes of survival that the Vikings, quote, when they come to colonize, right? What are they bringing when they colonize? They're bringing their own cultural understandings of how to live.
Yeah.
And guess what that is? Farming.
Yeah.
Farming. And, and raising livestock. And so to be able to do that successfully, actually, you bring up the point. There had to have been a better climate. And from what we can tell, climate scientists can say that, around that time, there was a warming period and there would have been enough growing season time to actually maintain a small colony with some agriculture and the ability to continue to raise livestock.
And if you think about it, for the Vikings coming from Norway and Sweden, it doesn't have to be that hot in Greenland for their right. methods to work. It just has to be warm enough, warm by Greenland standards to enter that sweet spot where a Viking civilization can exist. And then it doesn't take much to move out of those degrees of temperature where it doesn't work anymore.
There you go. And so, they did not come up from Miami, Florida to Greenland.
Yes.
like these Speedos aren't going to work, Leaf.
Yes. Absolutely.
But yeah. But now think again. So Jacob, then what happened after 400 years?
I believe it's something we call the Little Ice Age, Tim.
My God. You are so smart on this Monday homeroom morning.
Only on Monday mornings, yes. I try to cram it all into the beginning of the week, and then the video games degrade me as the week goes on.
So, but you're right. Climate science, you can look at and go, oop, oh, guess what? That whole farming gig that you guys were doing ain't working anymore. And, in fact, some of the excavations into the settlements in Greenland, particularly when they go into what we would refer to as the garbage dumps.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, but, I mean, hey, guess what? People in the past had to throw stuff away too.
Yep.
You know, they just didn't have a truck coming up and picking it up in a can and taking it somewhere else.
And it tends to get buried right away, which allows it to be preserved. Unlike, you know, if there's a house left over, it just falls apart over time. The trash ends up being preserved.
Yeah, it's trash being preserved. And so when it comes to that, you know, guess what? What the Vikings ate, there's a pretty good archaeological record over the years showing, and in fact, confirming, stuff didn't go so well there towards the last 100 years, because, yeah, those first couple 100 years and in those garbage pits, lots of pig bones, lots of sheep bones, stuff like that. They were eating like Vikings like to eat, Jacob, kind of like RFK Jr. says we should be eating now. Lots of meat.
And to put that in American perspective for our listeners, because I know we have a lot of American listeners, imagine the Golden Corral. That's how Vikings like to eat.
That's it, you know, and they were going. But over time, and in fact, right towards, and there's a great book by Jared Diamond. I know a lot of it's being disputed at some point, some of his stuff, but this Viking stuff's still pretty good. Is that their civilization, quote, collapsed. And we can see that collapse as you're looking forward. Is that by the end, what little meat there was in the form of rodent bones. Or, and for people who are like, oh, so they ate squirrels. No, we're talking about the smallest of rodents.
The humble field mouse.
Of which the humble field mouse itself was also going, there's not a whole lot of field going on right now in this mini ice age.
Exactly. Now, things are not good when you don't even have any more field mice to eat.
Right,
that's when you start to say, I guess maybe I'll go back to Denmark. That might be better than this.
We're out of here. But you know, but Jacob, here's again the go. But who didn't collapse? And who didn't have to leave Greenland?
I'm going to guess the Inuit peoples of Greenland, Tim.
How did they do that?
I've got an idea.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to guess that because of what we talked about at the beginning of this conversation, which was Greenland's a big, sparse place, and they're not really intermingling too much, I'm going to say the Inuit people's lifestyles didn't change that much from before the warming period till after the warming period, and so they were still equipped for Greenland life.
Yeah, and remember, for 2,000 years, they had figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that they figured out was, don't farm.
Big mistake. If there's no good soil and it's freezing all the time, maybe stick to the hunting and gathering.
Yeah, don't farm, hunting, gathering. And actually, though, too, meat, very, you know, again, but a different kind, right? So, again, you know, now you're going back into, but eating lots of sea animals, seals. And in fact, you know, a lot of historians say and point out that more than anything, it wasn't necessarily even the mini ice age that caused the Viking civilization to collapse. It was what you said. It was their inability to remove their European cultural ways of living and adapt. Because when it comes to eating meat, seal meat does not cut it if you're a good Viking. And by the 1400s, you are European now. Christianity is fully going on. And so, but yeah, it's just a refusal to adapt to the way the Inuit had been there for 2,000 years, you know. And so that idea, cross-cultural understanding did not happen.
And I think that another contributing factor to the refusal to adapt is, as long as your civilization has remembered longboat technology with an express pass back to Denmark if things don't pan out, then you say, well, am I going to change everything that I believe in, or am I going to just go back to the home country there. Yeah, maybe if you're stuck in Greenland, then you're like, well, you guys seem to know what you're doing. I'm going to start doing that instead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so this is kind of the cool stuff. So 1400s or so, Europeans, Vikings gone, Inuits there, chilling, hanging, doing what Inuit do best, which is live in a place that they had lived for thousands of years and were perfectly, I'm sure, probably pretty darn happy when, you know, Eric the Red's great, 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 great people left.
Probably. I assume so. I really don't know. I'm not an expert in the relations between the Greenlanders and the Inuit back in the 1400s, but knowing humans like I do, I think humans usually don't get along great.
The best cultural kind of, you know, potential mixing was that the walrus. And what was it about the walrus that the Vikings liked? Not the walrus meat, Jacob.
Ooh, I have a guess.
Okay.
Is it the walrus tusk, Tim? Is it that awesome walrus tusk? Because I can see that coming on a hat for a Viking.
Ivory, right there. Ivory, Jacob. There was actually, and this was one of the contributing factors to the early success of Viking Greenland, is there is a pretty lucrative ivory trade going on, and you know, that along with the you know, warming climate that they were experiencing, where they could grow crops and maintain you know, livestock, they also had an economic advantage in that they were exporting ivory and bringing in capital with that. So
I wonder, Tim, also with something like the ivory trade of walrus, given what I know about the North American bison or other situations where groups come in who are not native to this area and start eating different animals or harvesting them for parts, that did not go well for the bison. I wonder how the walrus population was doing during this time.
That might be another homeroom that we're going to have to spend some time.
Let's get a walrus expert in here next week.
But, you know, and Jacob, but here's the other thing, though, right? Okay, another contributing factor was, though, darn capitalism. Because guess what? When goods are heavily wanted and you're selling them, you're happy.
Yeah.
But just like a market economy, sometimes what you're selling that's awesome, all of a sudden people go, hey, we don't want that anymore.
I have a hard time believing that anybody ever didn't want a crazy tusk Viking helmet. But, you know, I guess people's tastes change over the years.
But yeah, I mean, you know, and there's evidence that the ivory market collapsed also in Europe. So the Vikings, yeah, they're gone. They're out. The Inuit are still there. They're doing what they do. And so what is next for Trump's favorite island, Jacob?
I think we go to the 1400s and then America invades in 2026, right? That's sort of that's the trend of the history of Greenland. Or I think it went back to the Inuit population entirely as an island for a while. And then I think, Tim, tell me, does Spain claim Greenland briefly and it goes poorly and then the Danes come home or what?
Probably Spain, you know, European kind of dabbling going, nah, it's too cold. Heck with this. but Denmark, in the 1700s does recolonize Greenland. And, you know, mostly through Christian missionaries. And though the sustainability of Greenland now was much easier, it was also, too, not a thriving colony that they were going to, you know, overpopulate. And so bringing in the needed resources from all of the other European countries, because by the 1700s, Jacob, the Danes, they're European.
Yes. Yeah, the Danes come back. They're the Europeans. And the interesting thing about Greenland versus Iceland, which I think we associate so heavily together, Iceland is like 85% European-descended, Viking-descended people in Greenland. That's Iceland, sorry. But Greenland is overwhelmingly still indigenous Inuit people in Greenland. It's a big contrast between these two places, probably having to do with the same thing that has always had to do with Greenland, which is the inhospitability for people who aren't from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I mean, you know, but so over that time and really actually another, you know, 300 years or so, 1700s through the 1900s, it's a small Danish colony with, you know, an Inuit local population. But, you know, at some point, though, in the 40s in the 30s, something breaks out in Europe, Jacob.
Cholera.
No.
Something else. Yes. Are we talking about World War II, Tim?
World War II stuff goes down. Yeah, stuff goes down. And you know, and if people go, it's like Denmark. What happens to Denmark early on in the late 30s into the 40s? Denmark is occupied by the Nazis.
Yes.
And those Nazis, well, they had their eyes on Greenland also, Jacob.
They had their eyes on Iceland and Greenland. And we, the United States, had a similar approach to dealing with both of those potential problems.
Yeah. And so this is, you know, so when does the U.S. get involved in Greenland? It's in World War II. You know, so our first, is it a claim or our first experience with Greenland? When I say our, the United States, our, I should say, is, yeah, World War II, and there's some air bases, because what is it about Greenland that is important for America at that time? Everybody's like, oil. And strategic location of Greenland in this global conflict. And so America's investment in Greenland in World War II is largely militarily in setting up the ability to, you know, be able to potentially use Greenland as either a launching place or also as a place to understand when maybe you, America, might be being targeted too, right?
Especially in World War II, it's not hard to see how a big island in the North Atlantic may be strategically placed when the United States is trying to send supplies to the UK through the North Atlantic. You can imagine why it was feared that, oh, what if the Germans get their hands on Iceland and Greenland? Now they're right in the middle of those shipping lanes. It could be a big deal. That's the primary World War II situation.
And
so anyway, we invaded them.
Oh, good. Yeah. I want to make sure we say
what happened.
Yeah. You know, hey, we did not ask the Inuit and the few Danish colonists that were there. We didn't ask. Yeah. We didn't ask. We just did what we do. We show up. But you know, I just wanted to also just make another point too. One of the biggest fears too in World War II is that also a Nazi stronghold in those areas is the potential jumping off point for an invasion of America.
Sure. Yeah. Right?
You know, because I mean, you know, let's be honest, Hitler, he was going after everything pretty much.
I don't want to be controversial here, Tim, but Hitler, bad guy. I'm just going to say it.
You know,
I'm not going to mince words.
He was a world dominator, or wanted to be. Wanted to be a world dominator. And so, Jacob, you know, but after World War II, it kind of, you know, the next significant milestone in Greenland's history. Throwing it out to you, Jacob.
Geez, Tim, I don't know. Is it the Cold War?
There you go, my friend. Cold War. You know, and what a great place to have a Cold War.
In Greenland. Yes, you're right. Absolutely right, Tim.
I wonder if the Cold War got its name from Green. No, don't go down that crazy myth. But yeah, Cold War, nuclear, all that, you know, stuff like that. But You know, so here we are. It's we're looking at Greenland and the Cold War, and then, however, in the let's jump to the 70s, something uniquely significant happens to Greenland, because even during all this time, Denmark does claim and or have ownership, if that's an appropriate word, of Greenland.
Yes, it's a colony of Denmark.
It's a colony of Denmark. But Denmark does something unique in the 70s.
And what is that, Tim?
Autonomy, Jacob. Autonomy. Greenland, yes, still part of the kingdom of Denmark. That would be a whole other show, because I'd love to know where else the kingdom of Denmark is outside of Denmark.
I think there's some parts in the Caribbean.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I've seen the Danish flag when I was down there one time. Thank you, Jacob. But, you know, self-rule and then the population. But as you point out too, Jacob, when we're talking about the population of Greenland, it is still, though, even though there is, you know, a Danish, quote, presence, the population is largely Inuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Inuit. Interestingly, you know, from some genealogical, you know, research, a decent amount of Inuit do have some Danish genetic markers,
which is probably to be expected, considering that for the last 1,100 years, the Danes and Inuit have been interacting on Greenland in various capacities.
Yeah, every so often that Friday night football game might end up in under the bleachers with a couple Danes and Inuits together.
You never know. You never know. When people get together, you never know what happens.
Yeah, you never know what happens. You know, that's kind of it. And it kind of sat there and we're sitting. And so now the question is, why Greenland now? Why does our president want Greenland? I mean, why would he make invasion statements and then buying statements? What is it about Greenland? Because Jacob, it's interesting though, here I'm going to bring this back, because it's kind of funny, because here's a connection going back all the way to Eric the Red.
Way back.
Eric the Red was probably, you know, we didn't even do the history. Pretty bad dude. You know, he got kicked out of Iceland,
you have any idea how bad you have to be to get kicked out of Iceland?
Right.
In the year 900, it was anything goes in Iceland back then.
Yeah. If you broke those rules of what you said, you know,
the Vikings used to say, what happens in Iceland stays in Iceland. And even they kicked Eric out.
And Eric the Red. But, you know, his idea in getting to getting kicked out, going to Greenland, comes back with a marketing strategy. And as best we can tell, whether it's culture or true or myth, or whether the sagas that were written 250 years later about the history of Eric the Red, again, you know, how much is absolute true fact. But it was a real estate marketing deal. Why? And this goes back. Why the name Greenland?
Yep.
Some speculation is that that would make it more attractive for more settlers. However, there's also more now too saying, well, but and actually where the Vikings in southern Greenland landed during that climate warming, it kind of was green.
True. You know? Yeah.
But it was a real estate scam, as some people say. And so to me, it's ironic.
I think I see what tree you're talking up.
The new passion to acquire Greenland is by a real estate mogul
who probably believes it's green. I don't know what's in his mind, but I can see a slogan from 900 duping our great dear leader in Washington. Tim, I think you might be right about that. I think you might be absolutely right about the motivation. I know that I know what the president says the motive is, and I know what the likely motivations really are, but that might be it.
Yeah. So here we are, and man, really long. People are like, homeroom is really long today. Hey, sometimes, you know what? First period can wait.
Well, this is a homeroom and history class this week.
It's a homeroom and history class. But here we are, we're settling up. But Jacob, you know, there is a kind of, okay, is it strategic military again?
Strategic.
Potentially. What happened in Venezuela? Oh, you know, people are like, hey, is this current administration, even though it said it was an anti-imperialist, kind of trying to expand the empire, is actually a new expansion of the empire actually moving forward? You know, lots of success in Venezuela. Hey, we might as well go up there. I kind of like what I just saw recently, which is actually, you know, what's, and again, the parallel is kind of weird, but you know what's making Greenland attractive again?
Tim, I think I know the answer to this one.
Okay, come on.
Is it climate change?
Yes, Jacob. Yes, and just think about it. People can go back to Greenland and start farming sheep and pigs again.
Climate giveth and climate taketh away and giveth back again for Greenland. It's coming and going.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of sarcasm there. Yeah, nobody's looking to go there to start farming. However, this climate warming is creating a revealing of, wow, there's some pretty cool stuff under this melting ice.
Tim, it may have, you know, we like to think that colonialism came to an end because we all realized that colonialism was wrong. But maybe we ran out of land for people to go plant flags in. And now that climate change is thawing Greenland, it turns out we're not all so high and mighty as we thought we were. We're rushing to claim Greenland now that it might be a giant, I believe it's 2/3 the size of India. This island in the North Atlantic Sea, which apparently someday might be livable.
Might be livable, but right now, lots of rare earth minerals. And actually, Greenland always was, you know, people knew oil did exist. But with the, you know, the thawing of the ice sheets, access to those minerals, oil resources is once again, so a thriving Western capitalist economy is now in everybody's kind of eye. Because actually, let's be honest, it's not just President Trump who's eyeballing Greenland. China has been making overtones at Greenland. Russia has been making overtones at Greenland. What are those reasons? I'm going to bet that all three, us included, are not looking to make sure that the Inuit continue to thrive as the only successful population to occupy that real estate.
Tim, this idea of the United States acquiring Greenland in some fashion has existed for longer than Donald Trump has been pitching it.
Yeah.
It's up before. And the reason for it is those raw, rare earth minerals, those new pastures for beautiful American sheep to graze. And it's also about the opening up of shipping lanes the North Atlantic and the Arctic Sea, which if the ice melts, now ships can get through and it becomes a more strategically valuable place. You know what? I'm going to tell you my dark secret, Tim. I would be in favor of gaining Greenland to the United States, if not through invading it, but asking them nicely if they would like to someday and becoming good friends. And maybe, you know, it's like the EU. Greenland, would you like to join a thing with us? Maybe, and we'll be nice, friendly democracies together. I don't think that's happening now, Tim.
No.
I think we have pushed Greenland. Greenland will join China before it becomes part of the United States at this point. He is ruined. It's like, you know, I like Canada, and I've been to Canada so many times, and I think Canada is great. And I thought, someday, why don't we someday get, you know, let's make this official, Canada.
Yeah.
But now, no way. Now everybody who is not living here, and a lot of us who are living here, are like, that place is not on the right track. Yeah. So no, thank you. So the story of Greenland, really long story, goes back 2,000 years, Tim, with the Inuit people first arriving there, going to Eric the Red, and now Donald the Orange trying to follow up on that brave legacy of colonizing Greenland.
So just remember, Jacob, it's always been about real estate, my friend.
Eric the Red must have read Art of the Deal, I think,
I think so. There you go. So this homeroom, who knew Eric the Red and Donald Trump and Eric the Red, you know, two guys, what seems to be cut from the same cloth right there, you know, just trying to expand that real estate portfolio, man. So, Jacob, you know, with that, now it's time for your moment of Zen. Why do we have to be a military superpower? Why can't we be a humanitarian superpower?
Hey there, Pencil Busters. Thanks for listening to this Monday homeroom edition of Busted Pencils. Don't forget to check out Class in Session on Wednesday, Producer's Choice on Friday, and of course, you can always find us every Saturday across the Civic Media Network for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim, Johnny, and Jacob, and keep busting pencils.
Grab your coffee, your notebook, your pen.